All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is media talent and one tough son of a bitch, PJ Stock. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What's happening, Nasty?
Not much, Riggs. We gotta let everybody know right away that you joined a winning franchise with Natty Ice.
I did
last week.
I did.
Yeah.
Debut.
Yeah, the debut.
Flexor is still tight.
Yeah, but you had a G in your debut. No
I did. Yeah.
Low NHL on Carey Price. Carey Price, same shot. Low blocker.
Yeah, right.
I was a little surprised of the way you sallied, though.
Oh,
men's league. Guys don't usually sally that hard.
No,
but I'm
excited, man. I haven't scored in a while, you know.
Boys reject. I'm kidding, ladies and gentlemen.
Hammies and hip flexors are still feeling it, man. It's been a while since I took a full stride.
Well, I'll tell you probably what didn't happen is that I kept you up past your bedtime the night before going to see our boy Kaz.
That's the truth. He did.
He's one of the two bands that he has. They were awesome. They rocked out. It was fun to watch those guys do a little Motley Crue. Kaz is the man. And got a little video of Riggs actually falling asleep.
Had a little dirt nap
at the old bar. Concert. Not sure how that happened.
It was way past my bedtime, Nass. You know
it was way past your bedtime. But it was a good time, man. I'm glad we were able to go. He's the man. Kaz is the man. And those guys rock, dude. They rock.
Yeah, no doubt. And Kaz is the voice of Nasty Knuckles. So check him out. I think he's firing some up early next month. So.
Yeah,
he is the man. But what else you got going on in your world, Nass? The playoffs are in full force. Round one is wrapping up. We're wrapped up for some three teams now. What do you got,
man,
in your world?
Well, I've been paying close attention just like you. And little shocked at the Boston series. The way it went five games there. especially after Washington won the first game. But Boston,
yeah,
Tuca, I think obviously Boston has a good team, but Tuca makes it look so easy. In that, yeah, right? Like he just, everything hits him right in the B. I mean, I love that man. He's an awesome guy, but God, is he a good goalie?
Yeah. And Bergeron and Marchand, man.
They don't slow down.
No, I mean they're just
it's crazy.
Better. And yeah, they were just better.
Pasta. I mean, that right. guy, I love that. I love his Dunkin' Donut commercials.
Oh, man. Classic.
Elvis loves those too. But that it didn't surprise me that Boston won. I just thought that would be one to go to seven.
I thought for sure Washington would have put up a bigger fight.
They look tired or hurt. Yeah. Maybe some guys are hurt. You know, you don't usually find that out. You know that.
Yeah, they looked a little drained. Something
and then exactly. The Tampa Florida series has been one of my favorites to watch. Those two teams do not like each other. It's been so much fun. I was really happy Florida won last night because I want this thing to go seven. I think it would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
We both have buddies on both teams, so it's hard to pull against the, you know, guys you love. Tampa did win last year though.
I know.
So I'm kind of like, I just want it to go seven, and it's an absolute war. The Carolina Nashville series has, you know, it's 2-2. They're playing game five. We'll see what happens there tonight. But that series has been really good. Our boy Nick Cousins scored a big goal the other night. He's selling like he's in World Juniors, jumping into the glass.
Oh yeah, just rubbing it in their face. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cousy. A little text after that. He was fired up. But and then the one that's kind of surprised me a little bit, the way the Islanders finish, is they're up 3-2 on Pitt.
Yeah.
That's a big game tomorrow.
Yeah.
In Long Island, they're a tough team to beat there, man. Like that Barry Trotz, what a coach. God, man, he's just – not that they don't have a good team.
I know, right? Yeah, he's had some success, that's for sure.
Trotz, he's awesome. And our boy Jeff Carter's got three goals
in five games. He's fine the net. He always does. I know. Yeah, that was a wise move.
Wow. I mean
– you know what you're going to get out of Carts, right? I mean, he's a playoff performer. He's built to be a hockey player. He can score big game goals. Huge. I mean, obviously a veteran presence there. So,
I mean, he plays to every situation. Yeah. He plays every kills, penalties, power play, 4-on-4, you know, whatever. He does it all. And he still skates like he did when he's 22 years old.
Oh, my God.
Looks like he's not even trying.
I know.
Pisses me off, man.
Floats out there.
And then he just snaps the pill. Like, that's a new one. That's a new one for Farzi.
Farzi, the pill.
And then our good buddy Chief and Schenner, those guys in St. Louis got swept.
That was tough to watch.
They had a lot of banged up guys. They're not going to make any excuses. Colorado's good, boys.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. I mean.
Yeah, really good.
I mean, St. Louis.
They got some nice veteran leadership there. They look good.
They're going to be tough to beat. One of the biggest things that shocked me the other night, and I'm sure a lot of people, is Winnipeg goes into Edmonton, completely shut the two big boys down.
Insane, isn't it?
McDavid.
I cannot believe that.
You don't see that. You just don't see it. But then they come back to Winnipeg, and I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, they're in trouble. They're up 4-1. Yeah. I turn the channel, come back, it's 4-4. I'm like, what just happened? So rewatch and see what's going on. But you talk about an epic meltdown. One bad penalty, and then there you go, and then they lose in overtime, and then obviously they were swept.
Devastating for the Oilers.
Did not expect that.
I don't think Winnipeg Jets fans expected that. I mean,
to sweep them like
good for them, though. It was like awesome to see, you know. And
yeah,
I don't know how you shut down those two guys for, was it 6 or 7 periods there off the board? Like, how is that even possible?
And then they go on the road, and if I'm not mistaken, they both had 3 points, you know, in game three. You're up 4-1, kind of laughing, and you know, this game, you got this game in hand with under 9 to go, like, and then the wheels fell off, literally fell off. So, two sweeps there on that side of it. And then, you know, we got Toronto and Montreal battling it out. That's been a little ugly too. Some greasy games, and Toronto's up in that series. Yep. And then the Vegas and many won't go away. I thought Vegas would close them out last night. They're a tough team too.
Better be careful. Go back and many.
Yeah, you got to go back to the many now. And so it's been fun to watch. I wish every – I hate sweeps because it means less hockey, but I know the players are happy.
They're enjoying that, less effort to get through the grind and, self-preservation. So there's obviously two sides of it from a fan's perspective and then from the player's perspective. But, good for those teams, man. It's not easy to do, sweeping teams. Certainly a bonus going forward as far as, again, preserving the body and being fresher. Not that that always means everything, but they're sitting back and resting for a few days, which they never really had that opportunity a whole lot this year. So
especially this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing
so
three to four times a week. This is good. They're not going to know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Right. A couple bag skates to stay.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay in it.
That's about it over here, man.
All right. Well, I think we just hop right in and talk to our boy Stalker. This episode is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. It's playoff time, big stakes, bigger promotions. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $5 into $200. That's 40-1 odds on any basketball game. All you have to do is pick any team that is still in the hunt for the trophy. And if that team wins, you receive $200 in free credits. That's right. Pick any team that is still in contention. Bet $5. And if that team wins, you cash $200 in free credits.
Sounds I'm taking like, the Sixers, baby.
Sounds like a deal. All it takes to claim these 40-1 odds on the basketball team of your choosing is placing a $5 bet on that team and that team to win. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to turn $5 into $200 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if you do, you claim $200 in free credits. That's promo code Knuckles for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Get after it, Nast.
Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. We are so pleased to have our good friend join us today. One of the tough guys from the NHL, Mr. PJ Stock. Stalker, what is up, brother, besides your height? Because it's not that high.
Hey, I don't know what took you so long to get me on this show. That's the problem. I don't know. I should have been the first on. First off, really thankful for having me on. And you can't wear green. You look like a little gnome. Like, I just feel like I don't even know how this conversation is.
Sitting underneath the mushroom.
Listen.
You belong in, like, I feel like you're a lucky charm or something. Like a little. I miss you though.
I miss you too. But you know what, Stalker? You know how little I am. I can wear blue and look like a gnome. It doesn't matter color I'm wearing, man.
50-year-old gnome over there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. What's up, brother?
Living the dream up here in Montreal. And I used to joke around to our American buddies, and I'm up in God's country, living in God's country. Well, God's country's been on lockdown now for a year and a half. We're having 8 p.m. curfew, restaurants are closed, schools are closed, movie theaters are closed, bars are closed. The latest is we can't drive over up in Canada. We have provinces, right? We can't drive over the provincial line into Ontario. So, there's a lot of good that can be taken out of this, but there's a lot of frustrating things that can be taken out of this. And we're a year and a bit in, and we're hoping we get moving here as summer's approaching.
And you have kids as well. So it's a little, I mean, I know with my little guy, we're not on lockdown like you guys are, but I couldn't imagine being locked down the way you guys are, especially with kids. It's been tough enough here with the school online. My son's six, and it's like you got to sit with them. You can't just leave them be. So you're basically going to school with them.
So. I know. I talked to some teachers just recently, and I you know, we always give our, you know, the first liners a lot of credit, whether it's, you know, the ambulance people or the nurses, the doctors have been at the forefront of a lot of this, but teachers deserve a lot of love too. They've been able, they've been carrying away. They have to, you know, we don't ever think of them in the same light, but they've had to relearn how to teach, right? Because they're teaching this online, and like you're teaching a six-year-old, you know, normally you have them in a class, you draw a funny picture on the wall, ha, ha, ha. But
yeah.
you don't have all that. So they've had to kind of, I got four kids and my eldest is 18. He hasn't gone to school in a year and a half. He hasn't gone. Then my next two eldest up here in Quebec, we have one to six is elementary. Then 7 to 11 is secondary or high school. The ones in high school are they go every second day. Oh, so, okay. You know, there's a lot of, just imagine us with our ADD, ADHDs, YMCAs, NFLs, learning in front of a computer every day for months.
Yeah, I'd be done because my mind, I can't. You both know me well enough. I would not be able to do it. I have a hard enough time sitting with him, and while he's doing it, if I have to.
Yeah, it's not conducive to learning for anybody. I don't think sitting in front of a screen, especially young kids. Perfect opportunity for working on your meditation practice there, Stalker.
I know, Roz. I saw your videos of you doing yoga. Like, you know, you got the, I don't know what's happening. You know? Like, I'm watching these videos of you destroying people, and now you got the green tree, and you're in your leggings like this, and you're hanging over backwards. It's like,
I repair the damage, Stalker.
Hey, Stalker, I bet you he weighs less than you now.
Oh, yeah.
What are you? You're like a buck 80, 80?
Buck 85.
What are you, Stalker? Buck 80, probably?
205. I'm 205.
Are you 205 for real?
Yeah. That's why I wear black.
I told Riles before you jumped on, Stalker. I said, we were looking at Hockey DB. And it says you're 5'11", which is a lie. And it said it said 183. I said he's about 205. Did I not say 205?
He did, yeah.
He said 205. That's
correct. I started off at probably my first year was 183. It was so funny. I think 187 was my first, and my last year was probably 197. And it took me 7 years to put on 10 pounds. Like, it took me 7 years to put on 10 pounds. And when I played, I just, I kind of ate well. Back in the day, we drank beer, you know, and we didn't really know much about dieting, right? Pizza and spaghetti and beer was our diet. So we didn't really know much about it, but I worked my butt off in the summers, and I could just never put weight on. And it's funny, your career ends, you can put on 10 pounds in a week.
Oh,
just
yeah. Like, it's so easy.
Yeah. And now it's trying to keep it off.
Yeah.
But it looks like yoga works. I got to get into that because you look lean and mean.
Yeah, well, I'm lean, but I also stop eating all the shit too. So there, you know, you can't outwork a bad diet, as we all know, right? So you got to trim up somewhere. But the yoga is where it's at, man. I'll tell you what.
What do you got there, Stalker? No, what's the cocktail?
Well, it's a little, you know, it's I'm gonna tell you, it's
looks
water.
A little fruity.
It is.
Oh, looks good.
So the secret is you put a whole bunch of ice in it. And then you sprinkle a whole bunch of vodka in it. And then you put a drop of water and you squeeze some fruit on top. So when the ice melts, perfect.
Riggs, that's what I told you.
Yeah.
It's all you need.
Great presentation.
It's good for you. It keeps everything flowing. That's my yoga.
I agree. That's my drink too, is vodka water. I went to that. Perfect.
Yeah. Hydrate while you dehydrate.
Hydrate while you dehydrate, man.
Oh, looks, man. Like it stunted your growth, though, D.
Hey, I've been this tall since I was in eighth grade, so it's been stunted for a long, long time, man.
Stunted his growth, but he's got the anti-aging serum there. This guy's creeping on 60, and he looks like he's 25 still.
I wish, man. Oh, buddy.
So has the lockdown affected your work with your broadcasting stuff with RDS then, or are you?
Well, we're allowed now. There was a long time where we weren't allowed in the studio. The league shut down. We tried to do a little bit of TV for a bit, and then we took some time off, and then we reopened back up. Hockey came back, but we weren't allowed in the studio. So we've been doing a lot from our basements, pretty much. And actually, my I'm trying to hide it, but I have a Canadiens jersey behind me here with the Bruins. The Bruins is just to get all the Habs fans all crazy.
All wound up.
Yeah, I got my Flyers one and Rangers one right on the flip side of this. So I'm in studio. I do about 2 days from home. Pretty much you kind of make up a studio at home, and it's hard. Got to look into your camera and kind of break down something in a hockey game or analysis, or it's just not the same as being with the energy with people, right? And then you have one day a week now, the last month and a bit, maybe 2 months, I get to go in a studio. So
are you doing French TV right now, or is
it? Yeah, it is French. Okay. It is French. Well, they all speak French, and I kind of speak somewhere in the middle. I speak like a Fringlish, somewhere in the middle. Like, hey, we've always had that. We all have that hockey guy that we played with. Like, when I first started, Pierre Sevigny was his name, and Pierre played a little bit with the Canadiens. I don't know if they ever went through the Flyers organization. I think it was in New York.
I remember the name for sure.
Yeah, so there was French, there was English, and then there was Sevigny, which is kind of somewhere in the middle. And we've always played with a guy like that, that kind of, like, you know, you appreciate them. Yes, his language, you want to learn the other, but really it's kind of stuck in the middle. And that's how I am on TV.
Wait, Starker, I don't think you had two trips here in Philadelphia. Well, I say, first of all, you had two trips. One of the Phantoms, and you went up to with the big boys for the rest of the year and spent time there. But I don't know if Francis Bélanger was here when you came to pro. Okay, so so all the French guys were like, he had a tough time with English, but he had never spoken it. So he was learning, but the boys were saying his French is just as bad as his English. So, and I'm like, well, how's that possible? You know, all the guys used to say that his French is just as bad. So
I got the one French guy I played with that was in the Flyers organization. He was in the minors at the time. It was, first I got sent over, traded from Montreal to Philly. I was in the minors for about a week and then with Philly for the rest of the year. And then my last year pro was with the Phantoms. And the first, I think this was my first time sent down, was Francis Lessard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Frankie.
Yeah. I think that was the year. It was crazy. It was, that was the first year. So he was the only French guy that we had on our team. But I remember my first shift. So I started off in 97, 98, and every team had the minors back then. You guys remember this, but for people listening, you had your first round picks were the uber talented guys. And then you had, so there's like two or three on your team, maybe a second round pick or two that you're hoping could be like those top end talent players that could move up. Then you have a couple of career minor leaguers that help make up the veteran presence on your hockey team. And then you had your third or fourth line or fifth and sixth defenseman that can hardly skate, that were complete meatheads, that would be, they should all be in prison, like slap shot on every ship. Yeah. So I get traded. It's my first week in the minors, and I'm playing with my line mates. Were, first of all, when guys have nicknames, you know they're tough. I had Stone Cold Steve McClaren on my left wing. I had Jesse Bolarice on my right wing. First of all, two of the toughest guys ever. And then Francis Lessard was playing right D. So at that time, it was a simple, everyone did the simple. This is my only like real memory of Francis. So I'm playing center. I forget who was on the left D. I think it might've been Randy Jones. I completely forget the name. I don't think, maybe Slaney, because it was my first time there. So anyways, the puck goes in behind their net. I stop to kind of set up the triangle trap. You know, I'm going to follow their guy, follow the swing. And as I'm standing there and keeping looking where guys are, out of the corner of my eye, Francis Lessard comes skating in with no gloves on. And he's chasing the guy behind the net. And it's like, what just happened? Like it was right. A slap shot. The guy goes over the net with a stick like this.
Yeah.
Here's my right D just full blown like this. Yeah. And, oh my God. The good old days.
Oh my God.
How much tape were on Frankie's ankles?
a full roll on each foot. I never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it.
I played with a guy named Brad Smith. I don't know if you guys remember that name. He was a, one of the all-time leaders in the American Hockey League for scoring, but he would take two full rolls of black tape on his stick, and he'd do top to bottom, like all the way up, all the way down, the entire stick.
It weighed,
oh yeah, I don't know how much it weighed. God. It was ridiculous. But again, we're going back.
Yeah.
So the ultralights were just coming into the game, you know, and he had grown up with a heavy stick and you don't want it to break. And
oh, yeah.
It was true. Just, I didn't think of
that.
He was
adapting to the lightweight sticks. Yeah.
Yeah. Different times.
Riles, I know you know who Frankie Lassard is. He was, like Stalker said, this guy was a beauty. One night it was Rocky Thompson. I think we were playing Hershey. And they had put Rocky, he was playing wing. And Francis, he wasn't on the ice. Billy, I think Billy was still coaching us at the time, Billy Barber, if I'm not mistaken. And Frankie was just, they're going at it, they're talking, but he's not on the ice. We already got Frankie jumps off and grabs whoever the winger was before the ref got his lineup and threw him off, and Billy's screaming at him, and he is turned face. He's got his face this far away from Rocky, and he's just, I don't even know what happened, but then of course they went crazy and toe to toe. But we had a Neil Little on, Stalker, and we had a clip from when Frankie, remember Rouse, he literally grabbed every single guy on the ice except for the goalie.
Yeah.
His lids fought the goalie.
Yeah.
Frankie was skating around, swinging, guys are turtling, and then he'd go to the next guy. It's one of the most unbelievable videos. I remember it. I was there, but it's just, the guy was crazy, and he did put a full roll of plastic around each ankle. His skates were so long.
He did.
His eyelets were an inch apart, not even an inch apart. His skates were so tight. And he never changed his laces. I'm like, dude, just at least put new laces in. No. And when he first came to us, I remember his very first game with the Phantoms, he came into my stick room and he had one of the, you know, the sheets you guys would look at, the rosters and all that. And he says, "Who tough? Who tough?" So he says to me, he's pointing at the team. I don't even remember who we played, but who tough? I'm like, oh, that guy's pretty tough. And that guy's pretty tough. Okay.
My first year in the American Hockey, I got a Frankie story too, another one, but my first year in the American Hockey League, I'm coming out of Canadian University, right? So actually, funny story, my first 2 weeks, I got into a fight in Philly, what I got to tell you about. But in my first couple games, they put, back then they'd have, funny, in the bathroom stalls is where they put all the stats, because guys are
getting
in there. So, and yeah, they had the lineups, and like guys would be like, okay, I got him, you got him, I got him. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I was doing economics like a couple of months ago and like in the cafeteria. Now I'm like, for my life. Funny Frankie story. Sorry, you can tell I've been stuck in my house up in Canada, good, not talk to any humans. So I just, first year pro, coming out of university. And it's a couple weeks into the season. And I'm playing against the Phantoms. I'm with the Hartford Wolfpack. And I'm a center. I had a lot of penalty minutes in junior. It was kind of, I started as a rookie and major junior at 19. And it was just a game that I fell in love with. But I was a defenseman. So in hockey, as I mentioned, the breakout before, every team did that. It was like, defenseman went here, their best player swung one way and it passed it to the best player on every breakout. That was simple hockey. Yeah. So I used to run the guy from a mile away. And then, you know, one guy would grab you, you'd get a fight. In your second fight, you'd get a 10 minutes kick out of the game. So I'd get a lot of games where, you know, maybe 20 minutes every now and then. But it wasn't that much. But at the end of the game, they just want to get guys off. So I had like 400 penalty minutes 1 year. The numbers were whatever, blown up. But I'm now, like you said, these guys, half the Flyers or half the Phantoms organization was in the toilet because they're reading the stats, because they see it and they see me out on the ice. And here's a 5'10", you know, short guy, but taller than D. 5'11" in the stats. But, you know, like, I'm going to whip this guy. So a guy named Sean McCosh.
Oh, yeah.
I have it Sean written down. I have it written down. Go ahead.
So I remember this. It's in my first couple of weeks, and all I remember was it's Sean, right? Sean?
Yeah, Sean.
So yep, Sean and I get into a little fight that's kind of whatever. I mean, I never win, but my losses don't look as bad as they are.
You won.
Anyways, No, but I'm saying it wasn't bad. But all right. I remember was the first period ended. And what I was told is that he went back to the locker room. It might have even been you when I came back to the fans. But the second period started, he comes up to me off the faceoff and says, "We're going." And I'm like, "I'm done. Like, God, what's going on in this league? What is this?" So they drop the puck. We fight again. And this one goes okay again. So now I'm in the box. Start of second period. The faceoff is down beside my goalie. And in the old spectrum, the benches are right across the rink. So imagine it's the far others, like our goalie's there, right? So it's the far end, the long change, whatever. I'm in the box. I'm sitting there. I always had a routine where I take my elbow pads off and make sure they're okay. And all I hear is the building chanting, "Frankie, Frankie, Frankie, Frankie." And I didn't really know much about Frankie Bialowis prior to this night, but all I saw him in warm up was long hair, thing over the nose, like not really doing warm up, but doing push ups at center ice, taking slap shots at the board. And I'm going, "What's going on?" So the two fights against Mikosh, I'm in the box, and all I heard is a little bit of "Frankie, Frankie." And then, of course, the guys in the Flyers at your the press box guys there, that doing the scorekeeper guys, they're like, hey, you, look up." And I look up, and there he is. He's tapping on the glass with his stick. Like, the linesmen aren't even stopping him. Everyone, there's 10 guys waiting for a face-off down there, but no one's touching Frankie. And he's like, "You're dead." Like, thank the Lord, back then there was no camera in the I soiled myself right there. Like. So, anyways, I finally got on the ice. Frankie came after me, one chef. Dale Purington jumped in for me to, like, save me, and oh my God. And then I found out later, the whole mentality of that Flyers organization, they were kind of giving it to Mikosh. "You lost to that little guy. You got to do it."
So Stalker is 100% right on. Funny. I can tell you from the other side of it. And I think he's right. I think I told him this story once I met him and everything. So Stalker's playing a game. He's a little shit disturber. You can tell, obviously, Riggs. Just talking to him. But no, seriously, I loved this game. But so Kosher was a tough guy, and he was, I call Stalker a heavyweight because of who he fought. Like, I mean, he's not a heavyweight, but he was. It's amazing what you were able to do, Stalker. I hate even pumping your tires.
Keep going.
But I need to, so you can be a little taller. But seriously, Kosher didn't lose a lot of fights because he, like Stalker said, we always had a tough team in Philadelphia. So he was fighting guys his size, and he was a tough guy. So Stalker, he said he didn't give it to him. He pumped him. Like, we never saw Kosher get beat like that. Like, he was just giving him rights and laughs in Kosher's head, and he just couldn't get a hold of Stalker, and Stalker gave it to him. So Kosher was losing his mind. And if you know him, if you know Kosher at all, like, he's such a competitor, funny as hell, but just like when it's game time, it's game time. So Kosher comes back to the bench and he's all wound up. And I'll never forget Stalker. I don't know if you remember this much about it. You've been in tons of fights, probably don't remember, but when he asked you to go again, he was like, "Come on." And he had that look, and he was just so mad. It's almost like, dude, you're too mad. It's like,
too mad. Not, yeah, I don't want to fight that mad.
You're almost too mad right now, because I had never seen Kosher was usually pretty, you know, how you guys do it. I've never been in that situation, but he was like pulling his elbow pads, and he was like, and if he Stalker beat him worse, he just pumping him. So he goes in a box, like he said, Frankie came tapping or whatever. So Kosher gets back to the bench, and you know, you're like, he is really going to be upset. So Stalker jumps into the boards or into the bench here. He goes, "I don't think I'll do that again. It didn't go the way I wanted." You know, like something like that. And the boys kind of just chuckled, and we're like, "Who is this little guy fucking pounding people?" But thank God, you're right, Frank. You didn't have to mess with him. But watching you play, Stalker, you probably would have stood right in there, because you did with other big mutants, as Riles likes to say, the mutants.
Who's the toughest one to come through that organization while you were there?
got to be Frank, you know?
I mean, with the Phantoms, yeah, I mean, Frankie hurt guys, man. Like, he, back then, you know how it was, Stalker. Like, Frankie was that guy that, he's the nicest guy in the world. Like, big teddy bear. But on the ice, he would get so wound up. And it's funny, like you said, they were calling his name. They would do that. The people loved him. Obviously, he was a fan. He was on billboards in Philadelphia. How many American Hockey League players are on billboards in a big city? You know what I mean? But it would be either Animal or Frankie. And Billy Barber's coaching. You know, he's loving it. And he would tap Frankie. He'd be like Frankie just be going, smoke's coming out of his nose. And he's looking back. And there's 12 seconds to go in the game. Billy would go, all right, Frank, get out there, but don't do anything stupid. Well,
Yeah, I know.
There's 17,000 people screaming his name, like, you know, like, but anyway, I would say probably with the Phantoms, I saw Frankie just hurt people. Yeah. And Frankie wouldn't stop either. Like, he would hit a guy.
He's reckless.
I mean, you can look on YouTube or fight all those websites, man. And I mean, he would pick guys up and just, I mean, it was ruthless, man. You'd go to jail for probably now.
I never got like, Roz, I want to hear your take on how you get into a fight, because you're talking about guys that get excited about a fight. But I was really nervous because I knew I'd have to fight Frankie sooner or later. And I would come to Hartford, and he wasn't dirty about it whatsoever. But I'd been up and down a couple times now, and I think I had one with Belak that went all right. But God bless his soul. So, and I think I don't want to do it, but you know how our ego trials kind of takes over sometimes, and you're like, I want to test. Like, if I'm going to do this, I want to do this. So I remember how I shit my pants. Like, so I grabbed them, and I start off kind of in a right-handed stance, and I normally switch a lot because I can't hold a guy out because I'm not big and strong enough. So I'd switch hands or whatever, but he was holding me like this and squeezing my arms. And I remember getting so nervous. And I'll slash you behind the legs. I'll do all the little cheap stuff in a game, but not cheap, just to piss you off. But I'm not like stupid dirty. Every now and then, whatever, but different times so I can whatever. But it's just kind of, here I am with this guy, and I start to panic. I've never really panicked in a fight before. I don't really lose my thought process. I'm always pretty calm. But I started to panic because I started getting nervous at the strength of this guy. So what I did was my left hand, I snuck up, and he was like, I can't even tell you, but I tried to choke him. I tried to put my hand around his neck. My thumb would have been on the inside of his neck. I couldn't get my hand around his neck. Like, I couldn't get my hand around his neck. And then he just started, I was panicking. I was nervous. I couldn't get on this. And then thank the Lord, he threw like six punches, and they were like in a cartoon when like zoom, it's like the world would go whack. It was like, I heard the wind. It didn't go much more than this. And then after like six, he kind of just like, okay.
He was out of gas. Yeah, he was. That's Stalker, they usually, honest to God, if he didn't hit you in the first one or two, it was usually the third or fourth, and it was lights out for most guys. But he would tire quickly, obviously, because he just went just crazy when he fought.
Coach, you ever lose it? And you ever lose it? Like, do you ever remember getting into some where you're super calm and others where you look back and you're like, oh, man, I'm mad at myself for getting too carried away prior to it?
You know, that's a good question. I always thought that I was pretty calm going into it. obviously worked myself up, like, you know, to get into the fight, but I never fought mad. I never fought like, you know, I never really got overly engaged emotionally, but certainly when I was fighting a guy like Donald Brashear or George the Rock or some of these, like, you know, super heavyweights, Mike, I was a little more in my head, like, you know, what's the strategy? You know, I could, you know, I was kind of like you, you know, fighting guys more my size, was just like punches and bunches and just like throw and just like, you know, kind of be open. But when you fight guys like that, like you said, with Belak and you know, Brash, and he'd grab on you and pull you, you know, so the strategy was different. So, but I don't remember ever really, you know, getting overly worked up or, you know, certainly not angry. I can't remember really ever fighting angry.
You seemed angry.
Oh yeah, I was you know, playing the role. I was like, I learned pretty quickly that if you act crazy and you get in people's faces, most people don't want to deal with it, right? So like a lot of it was just like calling people's bluff more than anything. Obviously, I knew I had to fight the, you know, the legit heavyweights, but yeah, like the middleweights or like, you know, guys, most guys don't want to deal with it, especially if you like act uber crazy. But no, it was more just like me just kind of like just learning psychology, you know, 101, you know, a little bit of fear. But no, I was never really, you know, going to these fights angry. And, but well, certainly,
when I saw you play, what was me, when I, the amount of tape you had on one of your wrists, and that would me would tell me how tough the guy is. I was always like, I always went by the more tape he had on his wrist, the tougher he was. I always thought I could play, so I wanted to have my dangle wrist, right?
Yeah, you had the dangles. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the dangles. But then you had some big tape on your left hand, I remember for sure. Could have been injury, whatever, to keep your wrist solid. But you're stuck in that world where you are bigger than me, but you had to fight, you said, the super heavyweights. Like, it's, people don't understand that there's different levels. It's like, you know, boxing goes by what, every 5 to 8 pounds?
Yeah, right.
In hockey, it goes by, you're on the ice and so was that guy.
Yeah, right.
Go get him, Tiger.
We always talk about this, like, you know, Riles was fighting those guys. You were doing the same damn thing, man. And Riles actually has a little bit of height on you, a little height on you, and he had some weight on you too. But like, you know, that was the Burger King stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly though, Stalker, like, I mean, the guys you were fighting, it's insane to, of course I've seen all your, I mean, basically all your fights, but, it was crazy. Like both of you two knuckleheads fighting those guys. Like, man, I just can't even imagine, but you did seem to stay calm a lot. Stalker, when you're fighting, my favorite was the wave. How did the wave start? How did the wave start? In Boston,
you know what's
there.
Funny, it happened in Philly once. It was kind of, I don't know. We get punched in the head, adrenaline. I like being a moron off the ice. We all have fun. Like, this is what we do. On the ice, I like getting, you know, playing that role and being the instigator and having fun and, you know, having to be that whatever. But I would always shake my head at the guy that was the goofball that did the extra stuff that you just want to be like, I want to punch that guy in the head. My first or second game in the American Hockey League, I fought a guy named Mark Major.
I remember him.
I don't know how it started. I don't know what happened. I'm coming out of college and it happened. And don't ask me why. I raised the roof. I don't even know what that was at the time. Like, I don't even know why I did it. And that's the last thing I would ever do. And I'm like, what?
We got to find footage of that, man, somehow.
Oh, I'm so, like, I think back at it. And then, like, the wave, I did that once. And then the wave thing was, I think we were in Philly. And I think it was just, again, the crowd, I hated playing for the Flyers because our fourth line would go on and they, like, it's the one rink that gets it. But the music guy, the DJ, and the fans just get it. Yeah. They're playing whatever music during the game. Out comes, you know, Riley Cote in the fourth line, AC/DC. Yeah. Like, you wanted to have a quiet shift, but now it's like,
antagonizing.
I know. It's like, oh, man. And you look at, as you said, we were going to have a quiet chip against their super heavyweights, and we were just going to let it all go. But then everyone's just watching the game.
Juice up the fans. Yeah.
And then, yeah, the fans are all jacked up, and now you're like, oh, man. It was just, oh, man, the Flyers rink was just, oh, it was just good times. But I was the one rink that really got it.
Yeah, but you know what, man? It's like.
sorry. The wave.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. So after one of them, I'm still so like, you know, hey. And I started like, the fans were all going crazy about, you know, whatever, because they were all still ripping and roaring. And I'm like, ah. It was never a disrespectful.
Right.
It was like, I love, it's like that gladiator moment, you know?
Right.
15,000-20,000 are like cheering for. Yeah. You're so pumped, and it's harder. Well, you guys know you're, but for people listening, that energy that you just are alive after that moment. You survived the moment, and this you're like this. You're like on. Yeah. And it's like, hey. And then in Boston, I did it another time, and they thought it was.
Oh, they loved it. It was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. I loved it.
Too. It
just I know. I was watching. I was showing my son Elvis your fight against Jimmy Vandermeer because we talked to Pistol yesterday. So I was showing him that fight. Oh, what a fight, man! Jesus, both you two just pounded each other. But at the end, you know, oh my God, I know. But, you know, Stalker gives the wave and the place is just going. You could have lost, too. And if you get up wave, that place, there was not one person sitting down. And you know, you were a fan favorite. I remember they had T-shirts and everything for you, man. You were a rock star in Boston, man.
It was fun. It was a great time. I think I was really lucky, as I mentioned, the four teams that I played with, Flyers, Rangers, Montreal, and Boston, you know, not long in Philly or in Montreal, but. They're all blue collar cities as much as, you know, New York's, you know, a money city and Boston's kind of a money city. The real sports towns, Philadelphia's, you know, they're all real. Montreal's a little different, but of the American cities, they're blue collar and they love that. You know, it's the movie with Mark Wahlberg in, where he plays the football player,
Papali.
Papali, you know, Invincible. It just kind of shows you we used to go out, we played in Philly and we could go to any downtown bar, but we'd go to these little Irish bars in like South Philly and stuff. Like we just loved the people and they were the people that were the fans.
Right.
And they appreciated that. 100%. They liked the goal scorers, but they didn't always understand the goal scorers, but they could be Riley or they could be Derek yourself or me, because they're blue collar guys that appreciate it. They just want to see you go out there, do whatever you can for the jersey, kick some ass, have fun, try and win, but leave it all out there.
That's it.
And that's kind of where I fell in love with those cities and the fans. And that's where some of that stuff went to.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like you said, I never looked at it as well. And then I met you and everything. Obviously I knew you, but it never looked like you weren't showing anyone up. It's just, you know, saluting the crowd. Cause they loved you for one, you know, and it's always nice to see guys when they're jacked up too. Like Riles, there's a few times where you had some really good tilts and you know, you're just like, oh, let's go. I used to just love that.
I wish I went on it more looking back at it. You know what I mean? Cause I was just so like reserved and like, you know, I was always kind of trained by my parents to just like, not, you know, not be flamboyant with that kind of stuff. I wish I would have though, you know, seeing some of the stuff, but you know, I think it was more just a respect thing. I didn't, you know, win, lose or draw. I was just kind of like, did my work. I'm just going to go and rest. You know, I wasn't showing anybody.
The hardest thing was like one night, again, I did it against Eric Bolton one night in Boston after a couple of fights, but it just happened that particular one. I don't know why it happened, but the media created it into something that, you know, it was one of those things. And then, you know, now I had to do it. It almost became part of it. And as you mentioned, there's one night Rob Ray kicked the shit out of me and like, he broke my face and I'm like, they're all chatting and looking at me. And I'm like, I don't want to wave. I just want to go high. Like just, can everyone stop looking at me, please? Yeah. And I give one of these. Hey. Yeah. And they're like, ah! You know?
They like, pretty honestly, not to be cheesy, but they appreciate what you did, man.
It's
the truth though. Like, you know, you guys are, what you did is the hardest thing to do, I think. And you're always the favorite guy usually in the locker room and definitely the fans, like, you know, so, you know, even like you said, win, lose or draw, man, they're still standing up cheering for you. Cause you're battling,
showed up.
You're battling. Yeah. For your team. Yeah. And that's the part. I love that too, man. It's awesome.
We had some good ones. There was one night, and there's some other nights where I'm playing with Philly and Turner Stevenson. I think I fought him 3 times that year. And Turner's not a guy that fights a lot, but he's just a big, strong,
big dude. Yeah.
Big man.
Big dude. And he just like, I think back of like doing that stuff and, you know, whenever I did it, it was kind of in that type of way, but you'd hear sometimes your own radio or TV producer guy or not analyst saying, I probably wouldn't do that or I shouldn't do that. And that kind of digs a little bit at you. And in my head, I'm like, I'm trying to fight a guy that's, 7 feet tall and going to kick the snot out of me. And I'm, you know, Riley, you know, we do it for a reason, whether it's retribution, instigate something, not instigate. It's never really instigate, but it's kind of like get the fans going, your players going, prevent something else from happening, retribution for hitting another player. There's all different reasons why it used to happen, and not everyone really gets it. Not everyone gets the pre or the post fight either. So I hope that, as you guys said, everyone kind of understood it. But there's some times, I think back to fighting in Philly, right in front of the bench. And, I have once I'm fighting, I think it was Colin White, Turner Stevenson, and Mari Berdur's around, and Larry Robinson's the coach or assistant coach at that time. And these are two guys that I idolize and even though I'm playing against. And they're both just telling, Turner to kick my ass. And just like, I'm like, these are my, like Marty Brodeur, probably greatest goalie of all time statistically. And then there's, Larry Robinson, Larry Robinson, kid of Montreal.
Yeah.
Big Larry. Kick his fucking ass. Kill him. He's a piece of shit. Get rid of him. I'm enough as it is mentally to try and do this. I got my TV guy getting mad at me for waving to someone else. And here I got just some of those things all come.
Oh, the pressures, eh? God, man. Oh, man.
Fun life.
Larry Robinson. Can you imagine him? Oh, God. That is tough. I've never heard a bad word. Someone say a bad word about that man. I heard he's just, I don't really know him. I met him, but I heard he's just an unbelievable man.
Yeah.
Larry Robinson. But. What was I going to ask you, Stalker? So we've had Neil Little on. We talked about the goalie jump. You remember, obviously, you were there. but I told a few people. I don't know if you remember this, and if I'm wrong, correct me. But I'm not wrong. Just so you know. So the first fight happens, all the shit goes down. So I mean, you remember, it took 20 to 30 minutes to sort it out because it was
despite. It wasn't the first fight. It was ridiculous. What's his name? McGrattan fought 3 times against
the Vandermeers. One of them
got a leg crack.
And he just stood there and was getting fed. And he was shaking his legs trying to get him.
But
going.
He was fighting on the. Oh my god! The Knicks. Yeah.
Oh, so anyway, just a god, what a shit show. But anyway, so finally, it's almost ready to go, and Johnny Stevens puts the next 5 out, and you're there, and you had a cage on because you'd been injured.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget, you were like, Johnny was saying something to you guys. I don't even know what he was saying, but I was kind of usually over where the sticks are, but everybody was wound up. Everybody's standing up. So I was just kind of listening, and I'll never forget, you look back at the bench, you're like, watch this. And the line, he drops a puck, and Stalker just skates right to the goal. Runs the goal. Here we go again, man. And I was like, this guy's mad. This is the greatest thing ever, man.
How it actually started was another one, man. Goalie for the Binghamton, rest his soul. He's another one that passed away. Ray Emery grabbed Mike Peluso, who was one of our top goal scorers at that time. We had an offensive line out there. And he just started beating the snot out of Mike Peluso. And then everyone started fighting in. And as you guys had Litz comes down, jumps over the party. And I'm like, by the time they break it all down, and they had some tough guys out there, and one of our best players just got fed. And I have my cage on. And I'm like, you guys want to play that way? We'll fucking play that way. I'm on the bench with my cage on. And I'm like, we still had Chief on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
We had my old roommate from Boston, Mark Murphy,
Kirby Law,
a few
tough guys, man.
And I'm like, you guys are coming with me. Johnny's like, John Stevens, the coach, he's like, PJ. And I'm like, I got this, Johnny. And he's like, no, you don't have this. And I'm like, you guys are coming on the ice with me, and this is what's going to happen. They're not doing this in our building to our star player, or one of them anyway.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think Chief stayed on the bench, if I remember.
He did for that. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Because he wanted to go, and Johnny goes, I need you for the next one.
Yes, the next one. So what happens is, they dropped the puck, and you're such a moron with my cage on, and I'm like,
hey.
Full sprint.
But the goalie had gone to the
But it wasn't Ray in that. Thank God.
No, it wasn't Ray in that.
He would have been tossed.
I would have tripped on the way because Ray was a tough man.
Yes, he was.
So yeah, that was
that was
a great time.
That was a great time.
Different times.
Different. Very different. And then the funny thing about the third round when Chief did get out there, Brookbank was left. One of the Brookbank brothers, because there were two of them. One actually made it up, played a little bit in NHL, and I think the other one didn't. But either way, they were both kind of tough. And Ben Stafford ended up with Brookbank. But Brookbank was up against the glass, and he was watching Chiefs every move. Well, Chiefs got this little European, I think it was a Finn. Can't remember his name, save my life. But Chiefs got him down, and he's pounding this guy. And Brookbank's watching because he thinks Chief's coming.
Oh,
and
sure.
while he's looking, Ducky just sneaks him with one right in the teeth. Guys were going crazy because, he was kind of tossing Ducky around a little bit, Ben Stafford, but he was so worried about Chief that Chief did not get off that guy until they basically came and took him off of him. So he's like, you don't do that shit, like Stalker said, that ain't happening. So anyway,
which is crazy, kind of, it's kind of like I don't want to commandeer this, but that kind of is where the crazy week of hockey that we're kind of in right now.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of.
So Stalker, you and I were texting yesterday and what did you think about Wilson, the Panarin part?
The Panarin part, I think it's, let's just give the context for people that haven't seen it quickly. Washington goalie makes a save. New York Ranger kind of digs at the rebound. Wilson grabs him, puts him to the ground, gives him a shot. It looks like to the back, to the neck, to wherever the head, I don't know. And then as he's doing that, another player jumps on Wilson's back, a Ranger player, a Washington player then takes him off. And then another Ranger jumps on him, and it's Panarin. And then Wilson stands up. And if you watch the video, Wilson stands up, and Panarin's legs are in the air as he stands up.
Yeah.
And then, what happened next is you're in that moment. What he did was he punched Panarin once, helmet fell off, and threw him to the ground. And if you watch the video, if anyone grabs me, the first thing I do is wide stance and get myself like this, because I've been in these a million times.
Right, but yeah.
Panarin, and really, people say he slew foot. People say he pulled his hair. People say, from what I got, it's this, and I'll throw him to the ground. That's kind of, I've been in a million of those. His helmet only came off as he did it, and one punch short of the ground, and the optics are so bad. But it's a guy that knows what he's doing. He's so much bigger, so much stronger. And I understand what happened. I know where you are and a lot of people are with the optics of it. And the guy that did it, that has a terrible reputation in the last so long. I don't know if his reputation is deserved as much as we look at him like he's a zebra compared to a bunch of horses, because there's no one left like him in the league. There's maybe Ryan Reeves, So, if Riles is on the ice, that might not happen. He might not do well. And
I know what you mean.
He gets away with so much and thinks he can play the game a certain way because he's a first round pick, plays on the first line, second line, and plays against players that don't expect that to happen.
Exactly.
So he hits a lot of guys in the trolley tracks. He hits a lot of guys that seem late. It's on the edge. It's on that line. But because we have not a lot to compare it to, we automatically think that what he's doing is so wrong. it's so wrong in today's game because it just doesn't happen anymore. And we think that it's completely illegal. I'm kind of lost on, I hate seeing anyone get hurt. I don't like the optics of how Panarin falls to the ice. It could hit, can hit his hand.
Right.
But if Panarin doesn't jump, and this is what, why we love sports. We're talking about sticking up for each other.
Yeah.
That whole play happens because it's a domino effect of players sticking up for each other. And the math was Panarin got stuck with the wrong guy. Wilson jumps in to protect his goalie. One player jumps in to get on Wilson, protect Buchnevich, hits the goalie. Wilson grabs Buchnevich, punches him. Player X jumps on top of Wilson. Capital pulls him off. Next guy's Panarin. You're now in there. Once you agree to go in, you're kind of in. Now, do you want me to stop because it's Panarin? Do we think that there's two sets of rules? Yeah, there are two sets of rules. We all know there's two sets of rules. But he did not punch him with his glove off. I think he just manhandled someone that did not have a clue what he was doing. Right. And I don't think there's a penalty for it. They could have fined. It's not worth the suspension. And I think where the NHL is in trouble with this, and the PA tries to protect a lot of times the offending player are not always the victims. I don't think the fine with players making millions of dollars, it's not really a deterrent.
Yeah.
If I knew if I touched Derek, if I touched D, coach was going to kick the snot out of me, that's a physical thing that I'd think twice about touching. Right. But if we don't have that in the game anymore, but if I knew that if I hit you, I'd lose $100,000, I'd think about it a little different. If I hit you knowing that it cost me $5,000 and you might be out for a couple of weeks or whatever,
yeah,
fucking do it
for sure. Well,
right, like, you said, Riley, you know, like he's King Kong out there because, like, yeah. PJ, you said it too. Like, who's gonna do anything?
Who's gonna do anything? And he knows there's no one out there. Like, when that all went down, he knew whoever was coming after him wasn't that tough, you know, and he took advantage of it. I mean, he's playing the game hard. I mean, I think it, yeah, you're right, you know. I've watched it several times, and I don't think it was like, I don't think it was intentionally trying to hurt anybody. Like, I don't think it was as bad as people are making it seem. I don't think it was necessarily, you know, necessary, knowing that, you know, again, like you said, like if someone's coming after you in your fight stance, like it's like, you know, kill or be killed. But, you know, it's a little bit different era now than it was like, you know, 15 years ago, where it's like that could be several guys coming in that scrum and you're like, you know, you're literally legitimately threatened. You know, knowing that it's Panarin after the fact, you know, he's probably in the moment, grab him, get him out of the way. And
And you know what? I respect your guys' opinion and all the other guys that used to play it. The only point I was to me as a fan and watching it and being around hockey for so long was that I didn't know. I thought his helmet was already off, but either way, I just thought Tom Wilson knew who it was and he could have embarrassed him enough, but to pick him up, Christopher Stieg said yesterday, I saw a thing he posted, like another inch and a half. If he lands that force on his head, he's in trouble, man. Like he's in big trouble there. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. So, and I agree with you guys because you guys played the game. I didn't. But to me, I just felt, yeah.
Two things. Why is he the guy that has to do that? If I saw Panarin with Wilson and I'm a capital, I am getting in there as fast as I possibly can. Right. Where's his line mates? Like his teammates were all kind of watching it. They were kind of wrestling, kind of watching at the same time.
Right.
Okay, that's one thing. And the second thing is it's a one-punch judo throw. The helmet came off just before he throws it. Right. And I know, and I know, he could have happened. But these are the risks. So there's two things to argue about.
That's true, too. Yeah.
The league has – there's four referees out there. And if you want that stuff, we used to hate Roz when someone the ret lines were doing our dance and the referees would come in and break it up.
Right.
They could have broke that up pretty quickly if they wanted. Like the next night you have Crosby and Konechny going at it, and it's kind of you're letting them do it. You're letting
it was like a dog and pony show there. Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of just you grab them both and say both do another move. You're done. Like whatever. It's just kind of there's four refs. And the linesmen are the ones that often have to do the dirty work. We got two referees out there, too, that if you want to end it and just kind of
Yeah.
If it's the safety, if it's the safety we're looking at, I'm just now jumping on Derek's side a little. It's kind of, I understand the amount of time from the Panarin jumping on him, being thrown on the ground is seconds, like seconds. And you're in that mentality of like, where's it coming from? And you like, you know, I don't want to use the term kill or be killed because I hate that, but I'm just, you know, another one or, you know, but it's kind of like in that, and he's the big dog.
Yeah.
He's the big dog. And again, we're, you know, Ryle's with his yoga. He's past all that, you know, but, and I'm past all that. We don't want to see it, but we can't also forget why it just happened. It's, and we don't want to see people getting hurt because we know all, you know, the long-term ramifications of the hits to the head and all that. So I understand it and I don't like the optics of it, but I also understand why it just happened. And another way to prevent it from happening is to have Panarin not jump on Wilson's back.
Well, I'm sure he, you're right. And
or carry a little toughness.
Well, Joffrey Lupul said yesterday, I don't know if you saw, but I think he tweeted or said it somewhere, but he's like, maybe the Rangers should look at their lineup and, you know, maybe have someone there that's that can stand up for their players. And I know they have as Brendan Smith, right? But he's not, he ended up fighting. He ended up fighting him, tonight.
He jumped him.
Well, I mean, I guess he's the only guy they really have that could even try, you know, but I think we had talked about it, Stalker, earlier when I talked to you, Craig Berube. And again, this is years ago, but he used to tell guys, Bill Purinton was one. They were in New York. I'll never forget this story. It's so funny when Chief tells it, of course, but he said that Purinton was running around like a donkey and he went over to Brian Leetch and he said, if this guy doesn't stop, I'm going to grab Sergei Zubov and I'm going to beat the crap out of him. And he ended up doing it. He ended up beating Zubov up. And it was funny because a couple years later, the Gonchar was teammates with Chief in Washington. And he called him Chef. He always called him Chef. He didn't say Chief. He said Chief always says that he called me Chef. But he said, Chef, what did you do to Zubov? Because when he came in and I was talking to him, he was like, that guy, I'm scared. That guy beat me up. And so he told Gonchar what happened. And he was like, holy cow, man. But that's what I was going to say. Like, obviously it's a different day and age, but then again, we just had a 3-on-3. So is it a different age? It is, but it's, I don't know, man. Well,
and the funny thing out of this entire, so why the world is so upset right now. And because they're all looking at what just happened, the guy that did it, his history and the league's ruling, and the league's ruling was a $5,000 fine. As I said, that's the biggest issue with this. That's the max they can fine him. So is the punch to the head, which was the shoulder, that's what they find him on. They give him five. They punt a lot. It happens every night. But gets a $5,000 fine. The wrestling with Panarin, you know, and I know Steger is saying he could have hit his head, you know. Listen, he could have. He jumped on the toughest guys in the league.
Exactly, right?
Like it's – and but, yeah. He didn't, but I understand the what ifs could have happened. And but this is kind of what we go to. And then no one liked what the league, no one, lots of people didn't like the league's decision, but they're like trying to argue, like, we gave him 14 minutes in penalties for that play. Like, we didn't think it was suspendable. So then tonight they have the rematch. And what happens? Well, Rangers decide they didn't like, first of all, the day between the games, the president and the general manager, and I don't know if the ownership was involved, decide to put out a statement and say that George Parrillis isn't capable of his job. And
you think they got fired because of that? Because they got fired today.
Yeah, their owner Dolan is very, listen, they just also got mathematically eliminated. I think it has to do with a lot, and because I think they're going to be fined maybe $500,000, and I think this might lessen the blow. But I don't know if you can put out a statement calling out someone in the league's position without having the owner's okay on it.
Right.
You know, that's what.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So they lose their job. Wilson gets fined $5,000. Panarin's hurt. President and GM are fired. Tonight's game, Buchnevich, the game, they all fight, a couple fights early in the game. Buchnevich then cross-checks Anthony Mantha in the face, and he's going to get suspended.
Oh, yeah.
Out of everything that happened, and all the haters hate, and whatever you – and I said, I was arguing with something, two wrongs don't make a right. Like, okay, he was wrong. The league gave him what he thought was the right punishment. Okay, fix it how you want. They all fought off the opening faceoff. I don't know why you're fighting everybody else. Fight Wilson if you have an issue with it.
Yeah, right.
They all fought everybody else. Have three guys jump on Wilson.
That might be the only chance they have, like that big monster. But
instead, you all have everybody fighting, and then you got guys that aren't normally in that role because it escalates and escalates. And Buchnevich cross-checks the guy in the face tonight, Anthony Mantha, and he has to get two games, I think, probably the rest of the season, which is, I think, two. So, and at the end of it.
Yeah. Who's the winner?
Who's the winner?
Yeah.
The winner? It's just so it's unfortunate. It's, you know, it's one of those moments that people all hate, but everyone turns in to watch.
That's the truth. Too. Yeah, you know, if there's 18,000 people there, not one's in their seat. And that's the thing, you know, like.
Then it always goes back to the conversation around why teams either carry or don't carry toughness, right? I mean, it's like, okay, sure. Well, maybe that toughness wouldn't have been on the ice in that moment against Tom Wilson, but you might have thought about it. You know what I mean? There's always that, you know, the back of your mind where it's like, what if I act like this? Well, what do I have to answer to? You know what I mean? It's like there's that hidden fear or that hidden accountability where he knows. I mean, every team he plays against, he knows he can skate around, kill guys, do whatever he wants. And if someone's crazy enough to go after him, you know, he's gonna mollywop him. And
you know what I just thought of too, boys, is there's a big guy out there with him too, number 33.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
And there are many guys that want to fight with him either. I mean,
well, I was going to say that's why Bruins had that toughness for so long.
Yeah.
The Bruins had it. Right. Yeah. And you look at Vegas right now, who's the top team out West or whatever division they're all in right now.
Yeah,
whatever
right.
Vegas is leading their division right now. And they're Ryan Reeves.
Yeah. Yep.
100%. They're Ryan Reeves. And players on Vegas said that would not happen against our team. And I forget who said it.
100%.
That would not happen to our team because we have Ryan Reeves.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
it's so blatantly obvious, you know. You can't drift away from that too far. You know,
Broadsuit
bullies are gone, but it's like, you know, there's still that element. It's still such an emotional game. I think this year more than the last 5 years there's been more fisticuffs, and maybe it's COVID and everyone's just, you know, just a little bit ornery, but you got to protect your guys, you know, you got to, I mean, cause now you have this can of worms open, and you know, all the anti-fighters, you know, they want to sprinkle their opinion in it. But I think that specific moment pretty much magnifies the issues and why there's ever fighters in the first place.
Yeah. You know, and there's people from all outside of sports because everyone has a voice now. And
right.
I'm not saying yours, mine, or Derek's is right or righter than anybody else's. But today, anyone that has a blog, a YouTube, a Twitter, the tweets, everyone has a voice. And everyone, it's not often you go to a restaurant and you're going to leave the restaurant writing a good review. You'll leave when you're mad and not happy. That's when you're going to tweet something or write something.
Right.
And you find that when there's these incidents that happen right now that, it's so many more of the naysayers that are giving their, this is terrible, this is whatever. But, you know, it's like that in all walks. Like, it's archaic, and I understand it because of all the science, the head injuries, and I don't wish it on anything. But it's 285 square feet, guys with sticks swinging them at each other. You know, there was a play the other night, Slapshot coming from the point, and P.K. Subban cross-checked someone from the – there was a Slapshot coming. Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall was in Buffalo. So prior to the trade, Jersey's playing Buffalo. Shot from a point. PK Subban cross-checks Taylor Hall, like every defenseman does on every play. And Taylor Hall face first into a slap shot. Mm-hmm. Like, the intent is not there, but the intent is there. Like, this could happen. He could fall and hit his head. This can all, like, these are all things that could happen. So, but in baseball, man, you do something to a player, what's your pitcher doing next?
He's hitting them.
Yeah, right.
He's throwing high heat, you know? Yeah, it's
100%.
Basketball, you do something, you better have your head up because they're setting a pick on you pretty hard. There's a hard fall, you know? So it kind of happens everywhere, you know, but it's I just hate the optics when there is a potential injury, and I understand it, but I also, it's that sensitive. We're in such a PC world now that we got to watch how we dance around everything.
Well, that's true too. And you know what, you guys, like I said, I respect your guys' opinions on it and guys that played the game. You know, I just thought he didn't have to slam him like that. I thought he could have embarrassed him, ragdolled him, you know, like you said, his feet were dangling when he turned, but I get what you're saying. And I've never been in that position like you both have, where, you know, maybe he didn't know it was Panarin on his back when he did it. Like you said, you got people coming at you. It's a tough thing, but that was my point about the whole thing.
I'm an ex-Ranger and I love the Rangers and I got friends in the Rangers organization. I can't say it through any other way besides, like, if you look at Panarin, it's unfortunate because he just doesn't know what he's doing in that moment.
Yeah.
And you're kind of stuck because, you know, you just picked on the biggest, baddest bully in the yard.
Yeah.
And he didn't know how to, if he opens his legs, he doesn't fall. Instead, he stands there straight. If you stand there straight leg and I push you like this, you're falling over.
Yeah, right.
Now, on you have skates on and you have a guy that's 60 pounds more than you that goes boom. So, anyway, I feel bad, but we can go on all night. Like, the only good news is he's okay.
Yeah.
And we're both taller than Nasty.
Riley is. You might be half an inch.
Actually, hold on. Stay there. I got like this. I had this statue, life-size statue made of you. I own it around.
MVP in my league. That's awesome.
Yeah, look at that stance.
It's your. I'm gonna paint it green now.
You got it.
It's life-size.
Put it underneath the mushroom in your yard.
It's life-size. It's a gnome, man. It's a gnome.
I'm gonna paint it green now.
You're an asshole. Pumping your tires. I love it, man. I love it. Oh man. But you know what, Stalker, I'm sure you feel the same way. Like Riles and I said yesterday, I'd have that guy on my team any day of the week.
All day.
I'd have him on my team, man.
Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
He's Brad Marchand.
Yep.
You know, I'm trying to think of guys in the league that are a little bit like that, but he's a first round pick.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, was unbelievable for the Cups and Caps or making their Stanley Cup run. He adds an element that he just gets caught in that no man's land. He's thrown some hits in the last couple of years that are, and I think they just punish him because he hits so hard.
Yeah,
he does hit hard.
And one of the things that I have four kids that went through hockey and they go through the contact and all they do is they teach kids about how to give hits. They don't teach people how to take hits.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing, or how to avoid hits, or how to not put yourself in a position where you can be hit. You know, I remember watching, you know, my favorite player growing up when I was younger was Chris Chandler. That's funny. As my favorite player growing up, I played against him. Then I retired, and 10 years later, he was still playing.
That's a machine, man. Ugh.
But he played, and was he ever hurt? Did you ever see him go into a corner
or
put himself in a position besides the time Hex he came over and gave him a little blocker?
Yeah, right. The blocker action.
But besides that, you know, so it's kind of, I'm not saying what anything he does is good or bad, but he's an anomaly in the game today.
Right.
And that's kind of where we're stuck. And there's a lot of hate because the game's going more this way. And you have one guy that's still stuck way over there that looks completely out of place. So,
yeah, we've talked about a little bit. Like, I think even analytically or looking at the numbers, fighting has come back a little more now. And that could be, I think Ross said, you know, they're playing these little series. I don't know if you want to call them series, but they're playing
two and three
times in a row. And, you know, you kind of get sick of probably, you know, guys, it's almost like being in the playoffs and you know how that, what that's all about, but maybe that has something to do with it. But I think that you're seeing, it's just my opinion that this, the role is still needed. And I know you, it's not the '70s. I'm not talking about that stuff, but I mean, having a guy that can be there, and maybe Tom Wilson's thinking, well, if I do something stupid, I got to answer this guy.
If Wayne Simmons is on the ice, probably the closest guy that actually might be on the ice with him in the moment like that. You know, it's like completely different animal.
I don't think it's, you need all the players as much as you need the players with that mentality. And that's where I like what Panarin did. I don't mind. Yeah. Like he did what he thought was right. And what we encourage in a locker room, stand up for your teammates. It was just the wrong guy at the wrong time. Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to go backwards with this, but there's a place for in the game. I don't want to bring up the Crosby connect me one. I'm saying that right. But if the refs can break it up really, if they want to that quickly anyways, or they can just blow it down right away, or, you know, the Wilson one with, you know, that escalated quickly, but you can get in there. I don't know if teams want to go backwards. I personally would love to see it because I've watched so much hockey this year and the divisional hockey has been great. And I think that's what's led to the new rules. That's not going to leak. They always talk about, you know, rivalries. There's no rivalries unless there's a physical element that is brought to that rivalry. I can play a team 10 times, and unless something physical happens to one of my players, you beat me 6-1, I beat you 5-1, you beat me 4-2, what would he do today? You need something to happen, that little spark to get things kind of snowballing. And that's what you get when you play teams three times in a row or 10 times in a year. But I don't know if you need the player. I just think you need guys that have that mentality that, okay, you got this, then I got your back. But if you do have the biggest dog in the fight, it always helps.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Biggest guy.
What's that?
One guy you were scared of. One guy you were playing against that you'd be like, I'm not doing this tonight. Like, I'm not going to be a moron. I wish I was yogaing tonight.
Yeah, right. It was just at home meditating. Honestly, I think every guy that I didn't want to fight, I landed up fighting. You know, obviously, why would I want to fight Don Brashear or George LaRocque? I mean, right. You know, it's like even Brian McGrattan and, you know, all those guys, man. It's like, really, I had no business fighting them. But there's never anybody I avoided because I knew if I, you know, showed any sign of weakness and avoided it, I'd be long gone. So yeah, no, there was, certainly like I never landed up fighting Derek Boogaard, but you know, I was always like, oh man, when's this going to happen? You know, I was just kind of mentally preparing for it. Just never actually landed up playing him. He would probably be one of those guys. I'm like, we wouldn't want to, but definitely probably would have. So, just like you, man, like, you know, it's like you knew what you had to do, you know,
him. Brashear was mine.
Yeah. You're allowed to fight him.
No. I remember when the first year I came to the Flyers, what was I doing? I think he was doing pull-ups in the gym in his spandex.
Yeah.
And so there were no shoes on.
It was just like,
that's a big human.
I don't want anything to do.
He's
with
over
that.
There. He's curling the bar with 45 and like another 20 on it. His fucking arms just like, oh.
Yeah.
And the nicest guy too, though. Just the nicest dude, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Brash. God, he was a big man.
Yeah. Thank God that's in the past. I don't wake up in the middle of the night sweating.
That's right. Stalker, we always say about Chief said, yeah, try taking a nap in the afternoon when you got to fight Probert and you know Koser is going to come over and tap the glass after you fight him. I'm next. He said that happened to him. He's like, I couldn't sleep. He's like, it was awful in the afternoon trying to take a nap. He's like, yeah, right. Oh, man.
My worst part was at the end of practice, you know, the superstars always got off and then the fourth liners, fifth liners have to stay on and do some goalie drills. Say, hey, I can't cross over or shoot on a good day. And now you have the other team's tough guys that sit or stand around the box. And like you're, and my hands are sweating right now just thinking of them, you know, like the Sandy McCarthy's, Gino Onchicks, George Zorax, the Dan Brashears, you know, Chukosers, you know, they're all Tony Twists. They're all kind of like,
oh my God.
You know, you're like, oh my God. Like, hey, let's do a drill at the far end. Let's just, and then you're like, I never wanted to not play. But I, you know, when they got a lineup and you're like, actually, we're playing now, who are we playing one night? We were playing Chicago. And this is when I was in Boston. Chicago at this year decided to just go with like 18 tough guys. I don't know if you remember.
They had Bush, Vandenbush.
Vandenbush, Bushy, yeah. Probert. They had a crazy list. And the coach said, I'm not playing you tonight. And I'm like, why? He goes, because you'd be out there about against 15 guys. And I'm like, no, that's so wrong. That's bullshit. I want to play. In the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll go take a nap. I'm going shopping.
You'll actually be able to take a nap.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
thank God. I remember, right, Starkey, you reminded me a few minutes ago when you brought up Eric Bolton. Riles, I don't know if you remember this. We're playing in Atlanta, but probably their last year that they were there. I don't know if it was or not, but Bolts was there. And we were standing in the tunnel watching them practice just for a couple minutes. I just walked out and Riley was standing there, but Marty Biron had played with him in Buffalo. So Marty, all, you know, 143 pounds of him, 6 foot, whatever, 6'2". Marty's always stirring a pot. So Bolton's just standing there and he's kind of like turning and he's talking to Marty, but there's drills going on. So he's trying to pay attention. Riles walks up and I come up behind Riles and Marty goes, hey, Bolts. He's like, gonna have to talk to this guy tonight. You know, and Riles, like, you know, not that he was afraid of him, but it's like how awkward. And Bolts goes, I don't want to deal with anybody. That's what he said. He goes, I don't want to have to deal with anybody, to be honest. But I think you guys did end up fighting.
We did a lot of fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys ended up
thanks
fighting.
To Marty Marr,
like, way to go, Marty. Like, Jesus, man. What are you
looking
doing?
For a night off and he stood up there. Bolts and whatnot. He didn't want to fight. You know,
he didn't. He said it. He goes, I don't want to fight. Are you kidding me, man?
He lasted, Eric Bolton lasted a long time.
Oh, man. Did he ever, hey?
I remember him. He was in Kentucky when I was with the Phantoms, and that was like 97, I think. 98. Yeah. He was playing in Kentucky, man. I was like,
oh yeah. He played in the coast and in the lockout there and just went strong after and just kept getting contract after contract.
Yeah, man. He did.
Yeah, man. Good for him. Yeah. He had a great career.
For sure. Yeah. And he never hit either, man. His fights were long fights too.
Yeah,
man.
He strong, was strong.
He hit tough guy. Hard.
Yeah.
He hit hard too. Oof. And you know what? Not a lot. I've had a bunch with Eric and never dirty. Like,
very honest.
Never, you know, when the game's over, you look back at guys, and I might not have had a chance to know them, but you get a chance to, you know, what their reputation is to you. And I don't know Eric. I love him from playing against them because he beat me up more than anyone, probably, you know, but he was just right about the way he went about a lot of things. Listen, he also had some moments where he was whatever. But the exchanges that him and I had, he was always right and correct and right about the game. So I'm happy he lasted as long as he did. Good on him.
Yeah, I know for sure. One of the last Warriors standing. One of the last guys.
Yeah.
Long, you know.
That's true.
Jeez. Well, Stalker, we got to get you back to your lockdown there. We appreciate the time.
You only had one drink. You're getting soft, man. You used to have.
I know. Well, I was going to get up and walk away. I put water in it.
We already did. You already did to get my gnome. So, like, you should have just got another drink while you're at it.
I was just going to get up and go get some.
Hey, one last thing. I meant to ask you before we let you go. Are you still doing I watched a bunch of your lives. You had some cool guests. I love the Knuckles one, man. That was awesome, man. Every time I see that you're doing one, I usually watch them. But that was really cool, man.
The live thing's really tough to do, right? Because it's on via my Instagram, and we're actually, it was really fun. I had some actors on it, some entertainers on it, some ex-hockey player, Johnny LeClaire, Dougie Gilmore, I didn't have Chief on it yet, but Ray Bourque, Eric Lindros, some actors on it. Like I said, some Emily Van Camp. She's with the Marvel movies. Sam Roberts, Dropkick Murphys lead singer. And it's hard to watch it live because you got to watch it at the time. But now they got the new element that it kind of can stay on and live through YouTube or whatever now.
Yeah.
So we just took some time. And you actually mentioned or said before, they had the shirts on when I was in Boston. And people are always asking me, can you get me those shirts? I'm like, I can't get you those shirts. I don't know where those shirts came from. But I'm actually just going to, my kids love it. So we're going to make them again and kind of send, not to make any money, I'm just kind of having fun of doing it. So my kids can kind of relive that. And in a couple of weeks, we're kind of going back to it. So we have some real cool guests lined up and just kind of get back in with this year with the hockey season. It was really, everything was every second night.
I know.
Trust me, we found that too. So going to get back going a little bit in the playoffs and things slow down a little and have some fun with it. So maybe we can get the gnome on and maybe you could help. And Riley could be doing yoga. And,
why not?
He's a roller skater too. He's a roller skater too.
Oh, yeah.
Four wheels last week.
Is it a 5-year-old birthday party? And I was just, you know, working
been all over.
And yeah, he's been.
Oh, you should have seen the cry. He was giving a little dance, old stalker. What just the crossover? It was the who's this? The
roller rink, man.
Cool
in the you gotta game? Have a little.
Is this cool in the gang?
you gotta have a little swagger on the roller rink.
It was great, man.
I love it.
His wife actually posted it, and I screen recorded it. I said, "This I'm gonna use this for something."
What you got going on with that thing?
I got something going with it, but anyway, oh man! But yeah, that was cool, Sarge. I wondered if you were gonna keep doing that. You know?
Yeah. We got some fun people kind of lined up, and it's just kind of letting everyone decompress in a really condensed hockey season. Yeah. And it's kind of fun week to do it, as you and I, we could have talked all night on the Wilson stuff. We could have talked all night on and so much going on in the hockey world right now. And you know, how's the league going to be moving forward? What's going to be the world moving forward? How are they going to have the finals? How is the Canadian team? What do they go down? They go down to the States?
Yeah. What happens? Yeah. Yeah, right. That's a great point, man.
They don't have it set up. You know, what happens if the Canadian team wins home ice advantage or whatever, has a better record? Right. Well, no one can come to Canada because you've got to wait for 14 days.
Yeah.
So we have a 14. So
do you think if Toronto's looking pretty good? I mean, I don't know who's going to be, obviously we don't know who's going to be there, but what if it is, like you said, will it be different because they can charter and these guys get tested every single day, even on days off, they have to go in. Cause I see the guys all the time and, they have to go test every single day. So I just wonder if they're able to do that. I don't know. I don't know what will happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if they find one. And it's not fair because Vegas, if you heard, they're going to be allowed to have more fans. And they're hoping by June 1 to be at full capacity.
Oh, wow.
Prior to that, they're going to be allowed – I don't know if it's 14,000. So I don't know what the building actually holds in a Montreal.
That'll seem crazy now, you know, going to that. But
so they get, yeah. So, and they're thinking maybe making them one, like for the final four, taking almost them. Yeah. But that's not fair to any other team because one team gets home ice advantage, even if they're on the road.
Yeah. Right.
And they're a pretty good damn team.
And they're a great team.
And they're very good at home. So
it's gonna be interesting. So, anyways, whatever. It is what it is.
Yep. Cheers, boys. All right, brother.
Hey, man. Stalker, thanks for your time, brother. I know you're busy and everything.
Okay. Cheers, buddy. You know where to find me. Hey, and I'll look for you in my garden.
but I should be out there. Why am I in the house? You just like looking at me. Don't who you kidding, man? You just
I got like having that in here, man.
You gotta paint it green. You don't like the greensy? This is a forest. This is a little. I don't know. It's kind of an eagle. I think eagle green. I don't know what it is, but anyway,
it's gnome green.
He looks like just a little bigger than a leprechaun.
I won't show you my green shorts then.
No. I'm not wearing pants.
I didn't think you were.
All right, boys.
All right,
big boy. Thank you, man.
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
Talk to you later. All right, see you, man. Take care. That episode was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening. Nasty's got the steel. and the best sharpening in town.
That's right, Howie Steele, baby.
You got it. And Body Check Wellness for all your premium hemp-derived CBD needs and functional mushroom needs. Check it out at bodycheckwellness.com. Thanks to PJ Stock for hopping on. Much appreciated. Little Midge. He is
called
a beauty.
A leprechaun.
Who's he look like one?
This guy said, I did have green on.
Green on green.
If all people to call me a leprechaun,
I know,
stalker,
right? That's tough.
He's 5'7", if he's anything. He was actually, we didn't tell anyone, he was sitting on two phone books just to be able to be in.
He's
the
a tough
street.
5'7", man. He's tough
he
as they
is
come.
A tough so can, mother. God, that guy
can,
was tough.
He can back it up. But yeah, what an awesome guy. What a funny dude. Great personality for the game. And
yes.
Too bad his career was cut short, but made an impact for sure.
He did. He was, I thoroughly enjoyed him. I know we talked about it with him, but I hate to even admit it to him because he's so cocky, that little fucker. But seriously though, what a great guy, man. He is such a good man, and you're right, he was a personality. And you know, I always brag about you fighting those giants that you fought. He's 4 inches shorter than you.
I know, right?
And he was doing it. It just blows my mind. You know, if you really, the people that don't, I know people know who he is, but maybe they don't really understand it. He's about 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah.
I don't know what did he say? He said he was listed at 5'10". I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? They missed me at 5'10" in college, and I was not 5'10".
Padding the stats for sure.
Yeah, he was a true warrior, an unreal team guy. He was great in the locker room. I mean, just, you know, like we talked about, everything you want in a teammate, especially playing that role.
Yeah.
You know, and he was you know, unfortunately, I didn't have him too long as an equipment guy and him as a player, but we stayed in, you know, he's a good dude. We stayed in touch forever, like ever since he left Philadelphia. So he was great to have on, and God, is he a funny bastard.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, he's an energy guy, right? He's one of those guys that, you know, like the Rudy, the all heart and the glue on a team, anywhere he goes, and, you know, he brings it. But, I mean, people that don't understand how tough you need to be to fight those guys, whether you're 6'3", 6'4", or being undersized, you know, it's one of those things. You just do what you got to do because you want to live out your dream, and, you know, he said he never really fought. And then all of a sudden you realize you have to fight all these mutants. Poor guy. He's like, what the hell league am I in here? What's going on?
Then he waves. And then he's waving.
Yeah, the waves. Yeah, with a big smile on his face.
Like, I think he told us how it started, but I think he was blacked out because he'd been punched so many times in the face and he just started waving.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh man, that was great. You waved. What? I did.
Yeah. Right.
Show him the video. Oh yeah. Yeah. I was just saluting the fans.
Make it your trademark.
Oh man. I'm glad he's coming back with those shirts. I'm probably going to even have to get one
for
that little leprechaun.
You got to support the little guy.
Yeah. He's awesome, dude.
Thanks to PJ Stock. Be sure to tune in next week. Until then, be safe. Have some fun. Enjoy the weekend. The long weekend.
Long weekend.
See you next week, guys. Stay tuned.
See you, knuckleheads.